Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The Brian Mitchell Show with Scott Lynn on the Team 980 and the Team 980 app.
Welcome back to the Brian Mitchell Show, and joining me now from USA Today and the Football Jones podcast, my buddy Mike Jones. What's up, Mike? How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty well, Mitch. How about you?
I'm doing good, Mike. Before we go around the leagues a little bit, a few questions I would like to ask you then. You did an interview with Alex Smith. What stood out to you from that interview?
You know, just really the mental fortitude. You know, I wanted to kind of get inside his head and how he was able to pull off this comeback. A lot of people, the doctors were even worried they were going to have to amputate his leg. What it took, a lot of people would just be like, you know what, I just want to get to the point where I can play with my kids, where I can walk, and, let alone come back to play this game again. And so I wanted to hear how he went about it. And really, his mindset was like, staying present, staying in the moment, just focusing on one goal at a time. And it wasn't his initial goal wasn't, I'm trying to come back to play in the NFL. It was like, okay, what can I do to get better today, to get, healthier? And he said, I didn't know this was going to happen. This was just a progression. And, it was pretty inspiring. He said, yeah, I feel like my life is going to be better from now on because I went through this. I know that I have no limitations. And it's pretty impressive, and I know that everybody in the area is really rooting for him to help turn this team around now.
I think that proves that point. Look, if you give them an inch, they'll take a mile, like they say, those different types of things like that. Anytime a guy that's a competitor like Alex Smith, if he makes this, and I was always told to set your goals small. You have an ultimate goal, but you want to have little things along the way. So, like he said, I want to be able to play with my kids.
Yep.
Once you play with your kids, you start thinking, well, I wonder if I could go hang out with some of my friends.
Right.
Now you're playing with your friends, you go, well, I wonder if I could start doing the job I used to do,
Right.
And you keep pushing, keep pushing. And if you're a competitor, all of a sudden you're in it and you go, wow, I didn't even expect this. And I think that's the thing where everybody says who questioned him. I'm sure he questioned himself sometime, but he found out that if he keeps digging, he could find something.
Yep, you're exactly right. And he said there were days where he had doubts and really wondered, if he could do it, if he could, what the rest of his life is going to be like. But he snapped himself back into the present and said, what can I do today? I'm not worried about what I can do next year, next week, next month. What can I do today?
Well, I think it's a great story. But I got to tell people over and over again, as it continues to go, you have to go farther and farther away from that story, And I think just like when Doug won the Super Bowl and it was like, how does it feel to be a black quarterback winning the Super Bowl or whatever? And it kind of threw him off in a sense. Eventually, the story goes back to football and what you do on the football field. And as you've seen him play, what in the last two games, he's played terrific in the second half.
Right.
What seems to be the major difference in your eyes from the first half and the second half?
Well, I think it's just finding a rhythm. He's still rusty. He didn't get a whole lot of practice up until this point. didn't have a very many reps at all during training camp, didn't take many reps at all until he became the backup, he said. And, you know, so I think it's getting acclimated again to the speed of the game, and that makes a big difference. And then once you get to the second half, he feels it a little bit better. But, you know, like you said, like, you got to get past the injury, and just now it's about football. He said the exact same thing. And he said even his family, he said, you know, after that second game, you know, his family wasn't even asking how you're feeling. His wife was like, well, what were you thinking? Who were you trying to throw to when you threw that interception? So his whole family, you know, he said, okay, yeah, the whole family now, it's like, it's not about the leg anymore. It's about, you know, going out there playing well and playing winning football.
I would wonder if anybody had a chance to sit down and talk to his wife. Because as much as we talk about the trooper that Alex was, she was there every step of the way with him in a sense. Not the physical aspect, but the mental drain on her and having to be that mental support for him. That's a story I would love to hear. Because I tell people over and over again, you know, I'm kind of hard nosed. I have to be able to say I need to see what he did on the field, and I don't want to talk about the story all the time because that's my mindset, and I think that's the way football is. But I think I might be as nervous as his wife every time somebody hits him because of being in this game and watching people get injuries and things of that nature. Every time he gets tackled, I flinch and cringe.
Yeah. Yep. Same here. Yeah. I do as well. So I can't imagine, you know, what she must feel. Just having seen all the bad days and everything that he went through, we didn't see any of that stuff. We just, you know, heard little bits and pieces. So I can't imagine what her reaction is every single time somebody takes him to the ground.
Well, Mike, we got some news today, interesting news from the NFL, where Taysom Hill is going to get a chance to start. Mr. 18 pass attempts is going to get a chance to start over Jameis Winston. Was that shocking to you or not?
It really was, because I figured that they were going to roll with Jameis Winston, the guy who's got the experience, the guy who's played the Falcons quite a bit, the guy who's, you know, he did throw for 5,000 yards and 33 touchdown passes, you know, and I felt like he probably gives them the best chance to win because of his experience over this kid who's, you know, thrown, like you said, 18 passes, has never played consecutive plays at quarterback, has never thrown consecutive passes at quarterback. So I was very surprised by it. You know, it's going to be interesting, but I guess they're like, look, they gave Taysom Hill a $16 million extension. They're paying him $16 million, you know, and Jameis Winston is making $1.1 million. So I guess they're like, hey, here's the chance against a team that doesn't have a winning record that we can see what Taysom Hill can do as a full-time quarterback. And there's not a whole lot of game film on him, so we're going to make it harder on the Falcons. And I guess they figure, look, if he stinks it up in the first quarter, we can always go to Jen.
I think it's a mindset of you're right, you could go to Jameis because he has the experience, but if Jameis messes up and you go to Taysom, then it's like everything is on this kid at the moment. But it's just strange to me. First of all, it's strange that he's making $16 million when he's only had 18 passes.
Yeah, exactly. I agree with you. And I think there's some arrogance to this as well. I think that Sean Payton wants to be like, oh, I'm going to do it my way, and I'm going to, you know, prove that I can win with this guy and make him this, you know. And so I just hope it doesn't come back to bite him, because, you know, Raheem and them are probably licking their chops and ready to just, you know, make him pay for this kind of decision that almost seems like they're kind of, you know, snubbing their nose like they don't think it's going to be very tough against them.
Yeah. I read a question earlier today asking a question about who needs to win more, Aaron Rodgers or Lamar Jackson. And you look at those are two guys with the Ravens and the Green Bay Packers, as they were playing well and the Ravens were playing well. Just let's say 3-4 weeks ago, we felt that they were like the cream of the crop. And now those teams seem to be struggling. They had lost some games. Who you think needs to get that victory the most?
I believe it's Lamar Jackson. You know, Aaron Rodgers is still in good shape. They're still leading their division. Lamar Jackson, they're behind now because the Steelers keep winning and the schedule is favorable for them. Lamar Jackson needs to go out there. And, you know, and I'm not going to say just Lamar Jackson. Greg Roman needs to go out there and call a good game, because I just feel like when you look at their offense, it hasn't elevated to another level. It has not diversified. You can look at those plays and have an idea of where the ball is going to go. And if we can do that sitting at home, then you know the defenses do. And so I think Lamar needs to be put in a better situation to succeed. But, yeah, he's got to get a win. Their coaches have to do a better job preparing. Lamar talked about, you know, defenses coming to the line, calling out their plays and things like that. That can't happen. And so if this team is as good as they think they can be, they need to win very badly, because then they're going to face the Steelers on Thanksgiving night, and that's going to be a dogfight as well.
Yeah, I heard the comments from Greg Roman say, well, you know, people do that all the time. And I said, well, when they call in the plays and you know it's a damn play you're about to run, that's the difference. You know,
yeah,
it's not like
exactly.
They're just calling out a play that you have in your playbook. They're saying, this is the play they're running, and they're coming right here. That makes a world of difference for a quarterback, because now you're in the middle of this thing. This is a play that you don't have a check with me in it, or an alert or some type of way I can call an audible. So I have to run the play, and I know that they have it. That screws up the whole psyche of an offense and a quarterback.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Again, you got to put your guy in position to succeed, equip him. And if he knows, and if the players all know that the defense knows where the ball is going, that messes, you know, psychologically. I know, I guess you got to use it as some motivation, but it's like, man, it kind of psychs you out just a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know if you got a chance to check the game out last night, but Russell Wilson, the guy is now 9-1 on Thursday nights, and coming off of losses, he's like 38 or 39-6, something like that, to where.
Yeah.
Where do you rank Russell with the quarterbacks today?
Well, I mean, he's up there. I think he should be top five, really, when you think about it. You know, and then he's an MVP candidate. I feel like that we probably sleep on Patrick Mahomes a little bit, just because we've seen what he does. And it seems like people kind of now are kind of taking him for granted. But I think Kyler Murray, even though they lost last night, the way that he really has grown this year and carried that team forward, I think he's in that discussion for MVP. But Russell has been consistent. He's played at a high level. This is, what, year 10 now for him, I believe. Maybe not quite 10. 2012, okay, so year 8 for him. And, yeah, he does not get the credit. And I think it's because they're out there on the West Coast or up in Seattle. But, you know, he bounced back in a big way, gave them the win that they really needed last night.
Well, Mike, before I let you go, get your take on this game coming up with Cincinnati and the Washington football team. What is it about Cincinnati that we need to be concerned about here in Washington?
Well, I mean, this pass coverage for the last game was not very good for Washington. You know, they've got to make sure they've got some young guys on the back end. They really got to get after the quarterback, because Joe Burrow can sling it with the best of them. He's not overwhelmed by any of this. So I think their defense has really got to keep them in check and give the offense the opportunity, you know, with some short field, some easy scoring chances. Because if you can get after this rookie quarterback, your chances will be that much better.
All right, Mike, we'll let everybody know where they can find your podcast, the Football Jones Podcast.
Yep. You can get it on iTunes, Spotify, or you can just follow me on Twitter @ByMikeJones, and I put the links out on there as well.
All right, man. Appreciate you giving us some time, Mike. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Mitch.
All right. We're going to take us a quick break here. This is the Brian Mitchell Show, Team 980, Team 980 app, 95.9 FM.
The Brian Mitchell Show with Scott Lynn on the Team 980 and the Team 980 app.
Hi, welcome back to the Brian Mitchell Show. And every week we normally get Coach Rivera, we get Coach Turner, we get Coach Jack Del Rio, and other coaches. We get the special teams coach every once in a while. Rarely do we get the quarterback coach, and I think that's the guy who works directly with the quarterbacks. And you look at this young man, he has a job of dealing with three people in different stages of their careers, three different types of quarterbacks, and you wonder sometimes what they think, because it's not all about just the head coach and the offensive coordinator. It's about the guy who's with them on a consistent basis. That's Coach Ken Zampezi. Let's take a listen.
Can you hear me first?
Hey, Ken. I guess just how would you evaluate Alex's last couple weeks, and specifically what he did against Detroit, and just how he seems to be progressing in your mind?
Well, we're real excited about his progress. You know, he came off the bench twice.
So he gets thrown in there a little bit. You can see how his reactions get better and better as time goes. And then having a whole full week of practice last week really helped things. So we're real excited about going into this week and where he's at. And, you know, he's continuing to make progress physically.
Ron really likes the way he spreads the ball around. Why do you think, is that just Alex the player? Is it the system? Why do you think Alex does such a good job in that aspect?
Well, he does it exactly how we ask him to do it. And then he does it with decisiveness. Everything's thought out. Every look's thought out. When I'm going to this guy and why. So that when it happens on game day, it's natural, it's quick, it's decisive. And it goes where we said it was supposed to go. And you love that as a coach. The things that you talk about during the week actually happen on game day. That's a huge positive. And it makes you want to give more and more.
Again, what has it been like for you to, you know, work with three very different quarterbacks at different stages in their careers, different strengths? What type of adjustment does that take for you as a coach?
Well, there's certain things that are, this is how we do it, and we're all going to do it like this. And then there's certain things like your delivery that's tailored to the guy, knowing his strengths and weaknesses, what to emphasize with that particular guy different than another guy. And that was part of the process in the spring as best we can to get to know the guy's style of personality, build bridges, relationships. So there's bonds that you can fall back on here as you go through the season and things get a little tougher. And so we all spend a lot of time building those bridges with the guys so we can have good communication now and know what kind of communication works with each guy.
John, go ahead.
Hey, thanks, Ken. What are you doing with Dwayne now to maybe help that development? What, you know, behind the scenes, what is he doing? What are you guys doing with him?
Well, a couple of different things. We're meeting extra, that's for sure. We've got Steven as a young guy, so we have some young guys in the building that need a little TLC that way, and that's exactly what they're getting. They're responding well to that. It's not something that just flashes overnight. Hey, we're here. You know, it's a very gradual understanding of the offense, and it gets a little bit better each week, and then you get a little bit more comfortable with the reads as you go forward and the speed of your processing of the looks, and that's what we're looking for. We're trying to accelerate that learning curve.
Can you see a difference in that, and are there things that how do you accelerate that? Do you take them on the field afterwards? Is it more meeting rooms? What is that like?
Well, we do extra meeting time, film time. We get a little head start on the install with the young guys. And then back there, we're constantly talking while Alex is up and going. We're constantly talking about the play that happened, what he saw, what the guys back there saw, and they're actually playing the play while Alex is playing the play, going through the steps, the reads, the all that, as if they were in.
Let's go Rhiannon, Matt, and then Sam.
Hey, Ken. Good to see you again. Rhiannon Walker with The Athletic. A few weeks ago, Ron was saying that part of what they're trying to evaluate right now as the season ends is whether this team has a franchise quarterback. You've worked with a number of guys that have taken over as franchise quarterbacks. In your opinion, how do you determine if there's a franchise quarterback, and like, what are the hallmarks of a guy like that?
Well, they win. I mean, first and foremost, those guys win. They end up making the guys around them better. They process every day as if it's game day. They're live, they're on, there's a sense of urgency, and the way they play infects the other guys in a positive way. And so we're constantly watching, not necessarily when a guy has a rep, when he doesn't have a rep. You know, we're always evaluating how a guy takes the information, processes it, and then has a chance to spit it back to you or show you by the play. And then the drill work, there's a lot of things involved in that, and we're going through that process right now.
Hey, Ron was saying yesterday that he, like, with the meetings going virtual, you guys are doing kind of something special for the quarterbacks. Do you know what he meant by that, or what are you guys kind of doing now that the meetings are virtual and you can't be in person?
Well, they're able to come into the building early, so we're working with them earlier and getting a head start on each day's install.
And then do you find it, like, how is it different preparing for an actual game week over Zoom rather than, you know, they're going over like the installs of a playbook and the spring, that sort of thing?
Well, we're actually able to be in person with the quarterbacks. So we're doing that. So we're not. Yeah. So it matters too. The context and the eye contact and the delivery and the emphasis of the different points we're trying to make, you lose a little bit over Zoom, you know, and but fortunate we're together and we're able to do that together.
Hey, Ken, I wonder, you know, as Dwayne has stepped into this new role as the backup, how have you seen his preparation change, and where have you seen the growth?
Well, when we're in the meetings, just some of the attention to detail things, we spent a lot of time talking about how to take notes, how to highlight a play in such a way that things jump out to you when you review them later in the week. Just study skills and how you start that, like you would if you were, you know, you get to a university and you're, you know, how do you make the important things jump out at you? Test guys at the end of the week, they got to draw plays and reads and spin them back to you. So we're constantly making our young guys jump through those hoops so that they can really digest the information, memorize it, and then they don't think about it when it happens on the field.
Cam Sims has said one of the things about Alex as the quarterback is he gives you the answers ahead of time. I don't think there's like a number or a percentage of what part of the quarterback's job that is, but in terms of getting, you know, everyone else on the offense ready, how does that kind of factor in with also the athletic component and things like that?
Well, I'm guessing what he's referring to is, for example, you're in the huddle and you're given a play and it's a Z comeback and you're looking right at him, emphasis of the Z, and you're staring at him. You've already had the conversation in the building. Hey, when this thing happens, we're going to have a great shot at this. Then you eyeball and you say, Z, come back. And you come out of the huddle at ready break and say, hey, give me all your depth. So you're constantly feeling good about what's about to happen in the building, the delivery in the huddle, breaking the huddle on the way to the line. There's an atmosphere of, damn, this thing's going to work. You know, so you're on your most positive mental state when that ball gets snapped and we're rolling and we've already talked about it. Those are the kind of things that a veteran does. Those are the kind of things that Alex does. And when you're processing where the routes are and who's where and fixing a formation, you don't get all those things. And that's the maturation process that we're going through.
Thank you.
We'll go two more, Les Carpenter and Ben.
Hey, Ken. Les Carpenter at the Washington Post. You know, one thing I've been wondering about is how do you feel about Alex's escapability at this point, especially, you know, when you first started with him in camp?
That's the part that's gotten a lot better. I'm fine. I like where he's at, and he hadn't hit a plateau either. So it's going to get better as we go, as we make adjustments to the brace and the different things that gives you. You know, we're tinkering on the way, and you know, shit, it's not like when he's a rookie, but you know, we're making progress every week, and he's aware of it, and he works at it, and then we do the drill work to make sure that we're feeling good as we make moves quickly. And you saw in the last Detroit game, there's one in the second half, he really had to get up inside of an edge rusher, and I was like, oh yeah, okay, here we go. It was great.
You know what, something else too, I mean, do you feel like there is a future for Dwayne? I mean, that things, not necessarily here, but just in general, I mean, do you feel good about his long term?
I do. There's very few people that can throw the ball like that. He's in a select group that way, but there's more to quarterback than that, and we're working on that right now. And it's early for him. He just got into the league. This should be his last year in college as a fifth-year senior. You know what I mean? So let's not rush to judgment on anything. Let's let him determine his own future, and we're all here to support him.
Thanks.
Hey, Ken. Speaking of young quarterbacks, obviously you've seen lots of young guys come in the league from college. I'm just wondering, what have you seen as, like, the biggest change over time when you see guys coming in the league now, the adjustment period for them when it comes from college to the NFL? What's the biggest difference you see with guys coming in the league today?
Well, I think the biggest adjustment I've seen is the offense adjusts to who they're bringing in. Because when you pick a guy high, he's playing. Basically, most teams, they come and they pick a guy real high, he's playing. So you have to do what he does well right now. So you have to adjust as coaches. And I think you've seen over the last 7-8 years, us as coaches adapt faster to the guys we got than making them fit to what the offense is. So hats off to most of these coaches around the league that are really finding ways to get their young guys to play good early.
And you say that these guys are going to come in and play, and that's not everybody has that philosophy, and it obviously depends on that quarterback. Just in general, what's your thought about that? Do you like the idea of, if you draft the guy high, playing him right away, or would you prefer a waiting period?
It depends on what else you have on the roster, you know, and where your team's at. Are you in rebuilding? Are you right in the middle? Do you have skill, like in Cincinnati, we had skill guys. John Kitna was on the roster. We played John Kitna instead of throwing Carson Palmer out there the first year. So it really depends who you have, where you're at in the program, those kinds of things. There's not one right way or wrong way.
All right, that's Coach Ken Zampezi, the quarterback coach of the Washington football team, talking about just about all the quarterbacks and what it takes to be a good quarterback, from what they're doing now with the young guys, the quarterbacks having a chance to be in the building, even Dwayne Haskins and Steven Montez, two guys that are learning and trying to get it going. But he still says it, just like Ron, that Dwayne has a future in this league because of the way he passes the ball and that big arm. We'll see if he gets it into his heart and change things up and how that trajectory will go. Let's take a quick break here. We'll be right back.
Y'all really understand how I feel right now, man.
All right, welcome back to the Brian Mitchell Show. Listening to Coach Ken Zampezi, the quarterback coach of the Washington football team. And I have to honestly say that a lot of interviews and press conferences I've heard this year, I did not think they were genuine. I did not listen to a lot of them. I got pissed off listening to some. I actually felt that he answered questions honestly and genuinely. Wasn't nice to know BS with it. He said exactly what I thought he felt. And I can take that. You know, whether I agree with a person or not in something, when they seem to be genuine, I can deal with it. And I just believe that this football team moving forward, and you know, young guys and older guys, they handle things a little differently. You can't expect one person to be at the level of someone who has the years of experience and been through it. You know, and if you're going to allow people to grow, you need to let some. You have to have that same message for everyone. We've seen that it's not for everyone, but it is what it is. And right now, we're at this point where we have a guy who had a great story, who's now the quarterback of the team. And I watched in the game where every time he break a huddle, he'll say something to somebody. He will go to those guys sometimes after he says something. And Ken is absolutely right. When you're breaking a huddle and you say, hey, man, you know, on that stick route, I need you to do a little something extra. I may come to you. That guy runs that route. You go to him. Hell, you got him hooked for the rest of it now. You know, and just those little tidbits of what you've experienced and what you've seen can help somebody out. So, and this is the thing about Alex has been that way throughout his whole career. You know, you saw what things went down when he was up there with Kaepernick. And Kaepernick ended up getting the job. He did not stop helping. He did not get pissed off so much to where, you know, he kind of shied away. And he goes to Kansas City, and he helped out Patrick as well. And Patrick talks about that a lot. And I believe that whether he's a starter or they were to put somebody in as a starter, he's going to be the guy he's always been, especially after going through the things he's gone through. Sometimes when you go through these physical things that test you like this mentally, it tests your physical, how physical things are. It tests everything, every earthly thing in you. And when you can get through something like that, you don't give a damn about much. And I know a lot of us as humans, we're selfish as hell. We automatically assume that, well, I wouldn't be helping out nobody else. Everybody don't think that way, especially successful people. Successful people have no problem trying to help out, you know. Because most times when you're successful and you help, you still have some level of things going on which are happening good for you, and you feel that those things happen good because of the way that you handle things. But I know a lot of people say, there ain't no way I would be doing it. I wouldn't be helping nobody out. They take my job, but you can't do it. You got to keep pushing forward and always remember that people are going to watch you for how you react and how you respond to stuff. And I think if Alex continues doing the things he's doing, things will be okay. It's no guarantee on what's going to happen on the field. You know, as I was saying earlier, I cringe every time he gets hit. I heard Kedrick Golson talking and say, you don't know how that leg is going to necessarily hold up all this time. No one knows. You know, I know they asked about his escapability. It's not where it used to be, but it probably never get where it used to be. But he's better than what he was that first game, and I think it'll keep moving for him. But ultimately, hey, it is what it is. They're playing against Cincinnati this weekend, and they have to get better. So as we get ready to close out the show, we'll be taking some calls and just get your projection of what you think is going to happen in this game, you know, predictions and all. Will they win it? Will they struggle? Will we run the football now, or will we keep throwing it? 301-230-0980. As I look at it, I'm talking to Tim. That team is young, but they're just like us. See, the difference between us and them, We have a veteran quarterback. They have a young quarterback. We have Terry McLaurin, who's been getting it done, and Cam Sims has stepped in now and started to play. They have T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd, and also they have a veteran in A.J. Green. I think they win when it comes to the tight end. The offensive line, as we heard Tim McGee say a little bit earlier, has been inconsistent, up and down. I think our offensive line has been that exact same way. But ultimately, it's going to come down to what defense forces their will on the other's offense. I believe our team has all the names and all the accolades and the first rounders. We could say they should play better in my book. So will they live up to that hype? Will we allow Cincinnati to finally go start doing things as a defense to make them get some type of, oh, Lord, we're in it now. You know, they start to get a little confidence. Will they keep playing? Let's go to Southeast. Check out Big Wes. What's up, Wes? How you doing, man?
Hey, Big Mitch. What's up, baby? It's always a pleasure, man. It's always a pleasure. You know I'm an AFC North guy. You know I'm a Pittsburgh Steelers guy, right?
Gotcha.
Brother, you keep bringing it strong to these folks, man. And the right folks listening to you, but they know they really can't say much. But one thing I got to say to you, you're right. If you bring the right defense, that's all it's going to take. Shout out to my brother Mark and Monty. It's their birthday, man. They die hard Redskins fans. Be Mitch. Do what you do, brother.
All right, man. Appreciate you, Wes. Take care, man. All right, let's go to my man Bones. Bones, what's happening, brother?
What's up, B Mitch? What's up, Scotty Lynn?
You're doing good, man.
Hey, check it out, man. I just want to see, man, I want to continue to see Alex, man, make a connection, man, with them young guys, man. You know, Cam Sims, Steven Sims, Terry McLaurin, the other guy with the dreadlocks, you know what I mean, and the tight end. You know, just keep making connection with them young guys, man, so that they can gain experience, man, and develop, you know, and tighten up their instincts, man. You know, game day instincts, man. You know, that's all I want to see, man. I just want to keep seeing further development, man. Thanks for taking my call, man. Enjoy your weekend, B-Mitch. Love you guys.
You too, Bones. Take care, brother. All right, let's go straight to Sam. Sam, what's happening, man?
B-Mitch, what's up, man? Happy Friday. What's going on, Scott?
Oh, doing good, man.
Hey, so look. So when Joe Mixon run up and down on this again, and we're going to be talking about on Monday, when Alex Smith is dinking and dunking in the first half, and we look like trash, and then we got to come back, and everybody Monday talking about, yeah, he looked good for 300 yards again, but that was against what? Against the soft coverage in the second half, man. We going to lose like we've been doing, man. We already know what they are. Ron Rivera said, yeah, we are what the record say we are, and what it is not very good. Not at all, man. Like, that run defense is terrible up the middle. Matt Ioannidis has been sorely missed throughout the whole season, man. And until we figure out how to go vertical, north and south, instead of attacking east and west and dinking and dunking, until we understand how to do it in the first half when it matters instead of when we down by 20 points, it ain't gonna matter what we do, man. Thank you, Mitch.
All right, man. Appreciate your call. All right, we're gonna take us a break here. If you're on the phone line, make sure you stay there. We'll finish them up as we get back. 301-230-0980. This is the Brian Mitchell Show.
The Brian Mitchell Show with Scott Lynn. On the Team 980 and the Team 980 app. When you look this clean, I'm a classic man. Calling on me like a young OG, I'm a classic man.
Your knees get met by the street, elegant, old-fashioned man. Yeah, baby, I'm a classic man. I burn through the hood like wool. When everybody feeling so cold, I cool like that King Cole. All right, the Daily Sports Line is brought to you by DC Lottery's new sportsbook, Gambit DC. Download today at GAMBET DC.com and access spreads, money line, and over and under, and live in-game betting all at your fingertips. It's sports only better. I'll give you a few games here. As you look at the pro game, we got Green Bay taking on Indianapolis. Indianapolis is favored by 2.5, and they have a very good defense. So you wonder, in this football game, can Aaron Rodgers get it working against the Colts defense? Cincinnati versus the Washington football team. The Washington football team is favored by 2. Cincinnati comes in with Joe Burrow, young quarterback, number one draft pick, and they have 3 legitimate receivers. They'll toss it around. Can the defense step up and shut him down? Baltimore favored by 6 against Tennessee. Tennessee will try to run the football, but is this game here more important to Lamar Jackson than that Green Bay game against Indianapolis? Will they get it done? And then Kansas City lost earlier this year to Las Vegas. Will this be a revenge game? They're favored by 8.5. And then also you can go in the college range. Wisconsin favored by 7.5, number 10, taking on number 19, Northwestern. And then Ohio State, something that had me and Anthony Bolt shaking our heads a little bit at it, favored by 20.5 points. Will you take Indiana in the points, or will you say Ohio State can get that victory by more than 20.5? But download it at gambitdc.com. That's GAMBET.com. And access spreads, money lines, over and under, and live in-game betting all at your fingertips. It's sports only better. Let's get back to the phone lines and get your take on this game, your predictions. And we're going to start off with my man, Thomas. What's up, Thomas? How you doing, bro?
Hey, how you guys doing? What's up, Brian Mitch?
Doing good,
what's
man.
What's up, Uncle Scotty? Calling y'all here from the mothership.
All right.
G is calling y'all from the shop. I'm definitely up here on the hovercraft.
All right.
So look here. I expect for us to come out, and we got to show some principles. We got to run the ball. Be committed to running the ball. Once you can suck them linebackers up, we can start doing the play action. I definitely also want to see Sean Deion Hamilton. I know I keep saying the same thing to you guys, but I definitely want to see him. He flashed last week in one play, and then they took the guy out. But we definitely need more from our linebacker core, and we definitely got to fit our run gaps and stop the run. I don't want to see Joe Mixon get outside, and then he start mixing it up. Then they can use the play action against us. So please get that together, and I'm hoping to see a victory Monday. Uncle Scotty, I meant to call you a long time ago. I'm sorry I didn't call
Scotty
you.
Scotty ain't been all day. It's just me here today.
Oh, well, tell him about the did you see the Washington football team? They beat the New York Giants. We lost to the New York Giants, but we beat the Philadelphia Eagles. The Philadelphia Eagles, have you been drug tested, Hakeem? Nope.
You talking about coming to America? All right, man. Appreciate your call. That was in that movie. That's funny. That's absolutely funny. But you know what? This game is going to take its different turns. But I think this is a game where they can begin to show. And what I want to see is the things that I'm hearing from the coaches when they talk. I want to see it begin to come onto the field. I've heard the different talk about this person is getting better, that person is getting better, but I haven't seen it. Defensively, the pass rush, and we've had people from that does their pre and post game show, and Tim McGee talks about the offensive line of Cincinnati. Okay, you have to take advantage of them. That is what I want to see from a football approach mindset. From being a little kid, when someone did something not very good or they weren't good at something, we attacked it. I watch other teams attack the weaknesses of everybody out there, and that is what I want to see at this point. You know, I don't want to see us go into a game and don't try to attack them. If their offensive line is not good, go get them. If their quarterback is young, let's see if he's going to make some young mistakes. Let's force the issue just a little bit. Joe Mixon out here has been banged up, and it's not necessarily you don't know for sure if he's going to be in the game or not, but we have to take advantage of those type of things. I think we have a distinct advantage when we look at our running backs going against other people's linebackers, especially when they're running the ball out the backfield. Catching the ball out the backfield, lining up and doing different things in the passing game. We have an advantage in that, and I think they need to allow them to do it. Terry McLaurin has been doing great, but now he seems to have a running mate with him in Cam Sims. Let Cam Sims continue to do the things he's doing. Isaiah Wright has come into the game and started to play well. You know, in the return game. I was impressed with Danny Johnson last week. Hell, can he catch punts? Because if he can catch punts and get up the field and run aggressive like he did, then I would accept that over other guys going side to side and not catching the ball. So it's just little things you see and move forward. Because I can't keep going with the young guy thing. I was told by Monty Coleman in 1990 after week three that I was no longer a rookie. I was thinking he'd be a rookie for the whole year. He said, nope, you get three games. That year is vested. You're not a rookie anymore. Those same mistakes are not going to be allowed. And I think it needs to be that same way here, because that little word accountability, something that we heard so much in the introduction press conference, that's what all I want to see. I want to see this every player held accountable to the same standard. I want to see, you know, this team get better. Just like everybody out there. I'm not asking for anything that you don't like. We just have different approaches at it. Some of you just happy with whatever you see. I'm not. Okay? I want to see things happen at a different level. And I think if you're pushing everybody the same way, you get things to move forward quickly, more quickly. You know, I'm not one who is happy with, oh, we fought back in the second half. My question would be, well, why the hell did you fall behind? I'm not happy with – I'm not a moral victory type guy. I want to win the damn game. I don't want to hear all the great things that are going on when you can't tell me a W, follow it. Everybody isn't like that. That's been my way. That's the way I was raised. That's the way I'm going to be. So at the end of this game, I would pray and I hope that we've given our effort, we've given everything we had as a defense, offense, and special teams. And at the end of the game, we were saying that we won this game. I don't care if you come back. I don't care if you leave from start to finish. I don't care how it goes. But let's talk about a victory instead of sitting up here constantly talking about how hard we fought in the second half. It's great. It's noble that you didn't quit. But sometimes the reason that you fought so hard is because you dug a hole so deep. The reason that you had to fight from behind because you made the mistakes that allow yourself to fall from behind. And if we can just stop doing that, we may have a chance. So I want to thank Tim McKee for joining me today. I want to thank Scott Jackson, who came on, my brother from another mother. Also, I want to thank Mike Jones, USA Today, and the Football Jones Podcast. So everybody, have a safe weekend. God bless you. Take care of yourselves. And we'll see you Monday at 12 o'clock. Take care. This is the Brian Mitchell Show. Have a great weekend. Peace.